Today we begin a new reflection. We're looking at the Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So let's read together Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted you, the prophets who were before you." I wonder, what's the best sermon that you've ever heard? What's the most memorable sermon, and why was that? Was it because it touched your very heart? The illustrations that were used were very relevant. Was it because it moved you? It made you laugh? It challenged you? It inspired you? Each of us will be moved by different speakers and by different illustrations. But I wonder what it is for you that makes a good sermon. In 1927, Gandhi declared that the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest teaching to ever fall from human lips. Franklin D. Roosevelt, the former president of the USA, he said, "I doubt if there is in the world a single problem, whether social, political, or economic, which would not find ready solution if men and nations would rule their lives according to the plain teaching of the Sermon on the Mount." Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor who was put to death by the Nazis in the Second World War, he said this: "The restoration of the church must surely depend on a new kind of monasticism, which has nothing in common with the old, but a life of uncompromising discipleship, following Christ according to the Sermon on the Mount. I believe the time has come to gather people together to do this." Some high praise indeed. And I believe, like these guys and many others, that the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest sermon to ever be preached. Jesus begins his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount with what Billy Graham has described as eight beautiful attitudes, the Beatitudes. And it is these eight beautiful attitudes that we're going to be looking at in more detail in our reflections over the coming weeks. But firstly, who was Jesus aiming his teaching at? Was it the disciples, the rich, the religious, the crowds? Well, at the beginning, we see in verse 1 that Jesus, when he sees the crowds, he goes up on the mountainside and sits down. It's almost like he's trying to get away from the crowd. It says his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. So we see he starts off by teaching his disciples, but as you read through the Sermon on the Mount, you suddenly realize before long that the crowds have gathered. So my thoughts on who is he aiming this teaching at is this. I believe it was aimed at all those sitting on the mountainside who genuinely wanted to know God and to follow God. Jesus describes in eight steps what kind of character we should have if we truly want to know God and want to follow God. The first four steps are about our relationship with God, and the second four are about our relationship with others. Each person who exhibits the qualities and character commended by Jesus is called blessed. The Greek word for blessed, which appears nine times in the first 11 verses, conveys the idea of happiness. but it means far more than that. Happiness is a subjective feeling. The word used by Jesus means blessed by God or receiving God's favor. Jesus is telling his followers how they can live their lives under God's blessing and favor. The eight qualities together constitute the responsibilities of being a follower of God, and the eight blessings, the privileges of being a citizen of God's kingdom. In his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was not laying down a new law to replace the old covenant. He was teaching his followers how to live out the Christian life. The heart, what Jesus is speaking about, is what matters most in life. So often we judge people by what they do, their jobs, their looks, their friends, their wealth, etc. Jesus says what matters most in life is not what we have or what we do, but who we are. Jesus' teaching on the Mount was counterculture. He addresses the people's misunderstandings about what constitutes true devotion to God and what man truly needs. It is the Beatitudes which ultimately get Jesus killed, as he explains them, and more importantly, as he lives them out for all to witness. Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is just as countercultural today as it was then. Through his teaching, Jesus is showing us the way to God and is challenging us today to live as God's distinctive people. Over the next few weeks, we will see for ourselves how distinctive that call is. I want to finish this reflection with a quote from Max Lucado from his book, The Applause of Heaven. And he's put together his own version of the Beatitudes. God promises sacred delight, and he promises it to an unlikely crowd. The poor in spirit, beggars in God's soup kitchen. Those who mourn, sinners anonymously bound together by the truth of their introduction. Hi, I am me, and I'm a sinner. The merciful, winners of the $1 million lottery, who share the prize with their enemies. The pure in heart, physicians who love lepers and escape infection. The peacemakers, architects who build bridges with wood from a Roman cross. The persecuted, those who manage to keep an eye on heaven while walking through hell on earth. It is a band of pilgrims that God promises a special blessing to, a heavenly joy, a sacred delight. I wonder, are you one of the unlikely crowd? Are you among the band of pilgrims?